Hello, everybody. Welcome to Off the Cup with Hoppy and Hobbs, episode 23.
23.
Day after Halloween edition.
Yes.
Extra hour of sleep.
Yes, I needed it.
Yeah, you're awake.
I am.
First
I'm
time
awake.
Of any one of these podcasts.
Let's do this.
Wow. Yeah, feeling good, man.
Yeah, like, share, subscribe, all those good things.
Yeah. Was it offthecup.net? Is that the other one?
I think that's the website.
Yeah, offthecup.net.
Yeah, I think that's the website. Okay, before we get started, we have a special surprise.
Special.
You didn't know about this, but I pay off my bets.
Okay.
So we had a bet on the ALCS, yes. Or the NLCS.
Yes.
That the Dodgers, who would win?
Right.
Dodgers or Braves?
Right.
I had the Braves. You had the Dodgers.
But that was by default.
You picked them.
I know.
And the loser had to wear a Dodger hat for a whole podcast.
Right.
Well, I lost.
Congratulations.
It's made me very sad. And then the Dodgers went on to win the World Series, and we have an open door.
Looks
like somebody's going
to
be doing something out there.
Yeah. Live Sundays.
Live Sundays. All right. So with further ado, it's time for me to reveal my hat.
You got your Dodger hat?
Yeah.
That's so great, dude. So, oh, freshly shipped. Freshly
shipped. Box. I set it up so I could open the box.
Look at you prepping.
Yep. So,
all right, here we go.
I'll
go ahead and take this. Here we go. We got Hobbs checking out, fixing everything, feeling confident. Ooh, look at ripping it. Wow, he must work out. It's all on the hips. Here he goes. Oh, there's the there it is. It's blue. Yes.
The hat is off. The new hat is on. There he goes.
He's got the Brooklyn Dodgers hat.
I could not buy an LA Dodgers hat. The bet was for a Dodgers hat.
That is true. That is true.
It was not for Dodgers hat.
Well played, sir. Well played.
So I had to get a hat I could actually wear. So you will see the B.
And you know what's funny is like the younger generation go, that Boston logo looks weird.
So initially I had purchased the Jackie Robinson edition with the Jackie Robinson Day patch on it, but it was sold out.
Oh.
So otherwise I would have had my hat last week. So I had to go back and buy a new one. So
well, it looks good.
So I had to buy a hat I could actually wear,
yes.
Marketing back to the old days.
With
Duke,
old school.
With Duke Snider rolling in center field and all that good stuff. But there was no way I was buying an LA Dodger hat. And I went back and there did not say it had to be an LA Dodger hat. It just said a Dodger hat.
Way to
so
go.
Bobby Boucher. Repping the Dodgers from Brooklyn.
From Brooklyn. That's awesome.
All right. So that is the fun we're having on Halloween morning.
Way to win. Good job.
Even
in losses, you win.
I always win.
I know. Just like video games.
I do like your off-the-cup hat, though.
It's solid.
Although, this is official, there was one game that Hoppy can always beat me at, and it was on his Commodore 64.
Commodore 64, baby. The floppy disk. Solid.
He had a baseball game. He could beat me at that one. Every other game, not so much.
No. That was a lot of anger for me, playing video games with you growing up. It was awesome.
And those aren't, you know, the fighting games. We're only talking sports.
It was always sports.
Yeah, college football, especially. Running the wishbone with Oklahoma.
I could never.
Those of you that are older and have played those college football games, running the wishbone was so much fun.
Yep.
Nebraska and Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. I always tried to pick somebody who could throw the ball. It never worked.
That was a bad idea.
Yeah, no.
97-yard run on the pitch.
That's great.
All right, so let's move on.
Yeah, we got some good topics today, and I'm actually there's going to be some tough choices for a lot of teams coming up.
Yeah, we got some serious free agency news coming for 21.
This list is crazy, bro.
Yeah, so just in case you guys were wondering, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and teams are cutting players and that had options that you would have never expected. So I think if you would have had a full season this year and everybody was in the stands, free agency would look a lot different than it looks right now. Mm-hmm. And just for me, the news that shocked me, there was two of them, right? The first one was Brad Hand,
Mr. Hand.
A $10 million option for one of the premier closers in baseball.
Right.
And they let him go on a $1 million buyout. caught me by surprise completely.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How do you not want that guy?
Yeah, that one was crazy. And then I think the other one, I don't have it on here.
Well, I could give you like seven that I'm like, wow.
The other one that surprised me, though, was John Lester. But I don't have it on my list here. So
yeah, well, that just does just
hopefully I have the numbers on that one. But we're going to have you go through your list of high priority free agents for next year.
High profile guys that I think, like, I want you just to be your own GM right now and go, would I sign this guy?
Yeah, this hat's comfortable.
That's great. This hat
is better.
It's
way cooler. $20 at H12 Sports Academy.
There it is.
In San Diego. Oh, by the way, Halloween edition, Hoppy is going as an H12 instructor.
Yes, I'm going as an H12 instructor that moonlights as a off the cup podcast co-host.
Sorry, I forgot to throw that in there.
Way to go. You're Bobby Boucher, by the way. Such an awesome jersey. Love it. Bobby Boucher.
It's a skinny jersey. It's
is that what you're going to call it? Yeah. I'm wearing my skinny jersey today. All right. So, I've got two lists. I got position players, and then I've got pitchers. And I'm looking at these names. First of all, you could make an unbelievable ball club with just the guys.
Yeah, I think it's expansion team time. Just signing free agents. You've spent about $250 million, and you got yourself a playoff team.
Just $250 million. No big deal. But
Mark Cuban.
The one thing I'm seeing is it's the old guard and the pitching staff. Those guys, they're just going to let him go. And then these other players that are proven major league talent, they're letting them go for, you know, these younger guys kind of doing the whole Tampa Bay situation of young guys, make them good, go win. As soon as we can't afford them, let them go, bring in a new crop. These names.
I think the Dodgers might have proved that wrong.
Well, that's true. I mean, in all honesty, the Dodgers took guys and fixed them. Guys that had made it to the big leagues and then got released or let go for whatever, and then fixed them and then made them into the ball players they are.
Right. And they use their farm system to build around.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt that they, you know, have rookie of the year candidates every other year. But at the same point, they're not, even though they tried to do the pitch by inning, paint by numbers type thing. That's not how their team's built, and that's not how they play the regular season.
No. So I'm going to start off with the pitchers.
All right.
Okay. Charlie Morton, is he 36, still throwing the ball well? I mean,
37.
Okay. Still throwing the ball well. You know, his contract's up with Tampa Bay. He's a veteran guy you could bring in as a fourth or fifth starter with a young staff. He's not necessarily a guy that I think Tampa Bay would want to bring back, you know, for money reasons, but he's a good addition. Jake Arrieta, which is it just me or did he just kind of fall off? Like, he was the premier pitcher in the league.
That's what happens when you go from a team that's in the news every day to a team that's not.
Right. And wanted to be.
Right.
He thought Philly would be that.
And they ended up not being that.
No. Cole Hamels, another veteran, you know, didn't work out. But he's another guy you could add on a squad for your fifth starter and, you know, groom those guys. James Paxton. Quietly did not a lot, and I don't think was the
yeah, he got hurt, and it really killed his time with the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, but that was like their big free agent pickup 2 years ago was, we got James Paxton.
Yeah, it's a number. He could be a number one for a regular team, number two, number three for a high-level team.
Yeah. Marcus Stroman has been very vocal. About his previous team.
Yeah, and he's like one of the younger free agents at 30. So you can get 3 years, 4 years out of him. So he's got a good contract. You know, he's got a little bargaining power. That just the problem is we don't know what these contracts are going to look like after this season.
It's going to be
Are all these guys going to sign like 1 year $5 million deals because you've got some collusion and no money from the owners, you know?
it's going to be interesting to see how owners do it. Because as soon as one does it and gets a guy to sign for, you know, a 1 or 2 year deal for, you know, maybe 8 to 12 million.
Right. So let's just run through scenario. Let's say that happens. I mean, you got some serious pitchers on here. You got Chris Archer. You got Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer.
You got Gio Gonzalez. You got Jay Happ. He's, you know, you got John Lester. You got Kluber, Ivan Nova, lefties like Moore and Mike Minor. You got Jose Quintana, Robbie Ray, Garrett Richards and Tyson Ross. Mm-hmm. So let's say the pitchers start going at like 7 million, these starting pitchers. What stops a team like the Yankees or Red Sox that have money that just signs all these guys and puts them in their pen?
Well, yeah.
Like,
I mean,
seriously, could you imagine rolling out guys that could throw 3 innings out of the bullpen? They've been starting pitchers their whole career. And right. You just load yourself up with all these all-star pitchers.
Well, I mean, dude, they all become Drew Pomeranz. You know, they were starters that, you know, sat at a certain speed, and you make them bullpen guys and they're almost untouchable. But the as you were going through that list, all I'm seeing is 31, 33, you know, 32, 35, as far as the ages. And it's like almost like that old guard is,
man, we got no sound again on Facebook.
What?
Yeah. Dang it. Just saying.
Well, how are we going to fix that?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not the tech guy.
Hey, so we're going to do this with no sound, everybody.
All right. Well, you can check it out later on the podcast stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Cool video. You could watch the video and listen to the podcast at the same time.
It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. That's why I'm not that guy.
Yeah. All right. Just so you guys know, Hoppy does all the sound. So,
as you can see, I have the soundboard in front of me.
Yeah, but he's in charge of Facebook.
Sorry.
All right. So, sorry about the no sound. That's just the way it is. So, back to these pictures.
Yeah. It, like I said, as you're going through the names, I'm just thinking of their ages. You know, are they going to really be guys that you're going to want to bring in at an older age? And not be your 1 and 2 for, you know, 8-9 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, you could literally buy a whole starting staff. Pretty
good.
You could probably buy three of them if you wanted to.
Oh yeah.
You know, you could buy 3 starting staffs.
So yeah,
it's not that big a deal. You know, Rick Porcello, Jeff Samardzija, Anibal Sanchez, Drew Smyly, Masahiro Tanaka. He's only 32. Julio Teheran at 30. Wainwright at 39. Yeah. Make him your closer, John Smoltz style, you know?
Right.
Superstar prospect of Taijuan Walker, you know? Maybe he has a resurgence. He's only 28, you know? You got Jordan Zimmermann at 35, you know? I'm assuming that even Gio Gonzalez, I'm assuming that, you know, you could sign any of these guys, throw them in your 4 or 5 spot, sign a guy for 4 or 5. You can just buy a whole new starting staff if you want to,
you could.
And probably win, you know, have every guy win 10 to 12 games. I mean, you could do the Rays style and have them start for 3 innings, you
right.
know, do whatever. So
if I'm the
want.
Angels,
yeah,
I go get a whole new staff, which it seems like they do that every year, but at least you could afford it this year. You can go get some. The big question is going to be your relievers, your closers, Doolittle, Rosenthal, Yates. Those are 3 right there. Any team would take those.
Yeah.
Any team. You know, does Yates come back with the Padres? Does Rosenthal come back for the Padres? Who knows what, you know, Washington wants to do with Doolittle?
Yeah.
Do they bring him back?
The right-handed reliever list is long and it's strong.
Oh, wow.
Like, all right. So you got Pedro Baez, 33. Dylan Betances from the Yankees. He's 33. He has a player option with a buyout. Former closer, Brad Boxberger. Steve Cechek, throwing from down here. Wade Davis, Ken Giles, Shane Green, Liam Hendricks from the A's, who had just the insane year this year, if you want a closer. Greg Holland, who's been a closer.
That was mysterious.
Tommy Hunter. Keone Kayla throws pretty good. He was on the Pirates. Yeah. Mark Melanson, Darren O'Day, get the lefty. Brad Peacock. I mean, just going down the list. David Robertson. Trevor Rosenthal.
Yeah. He likes burritos.
Walking
in San Diego.
And then you got guys like Edison Volquez, who's 37 years old.
Who still brings it.
Yeah. And then, like you said, Kirby Yates. And those are just right-handed. That's just going through the list and just picking out names of right-handed relievers. That's three teams worth of relief pitchers.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a crazy market.
And the left-handed list, a little shorter. Just pull out some names like Ross Detweiler. You had Doolittle, Brad Hand.
Brad Hand. I'd take Brad Hand back in a second.
Derek Holland. Aaron Loop, who you got to see pitch in the playoffs. This guy, okay? This name, 39 years old. I swear he's like 70, Oliver Perez.
He's like Sergio Romo. Like those two guys, I think are going to pitch till they're like 60.
He's pitched the whole time I've been an adult, I think.
Oliver Perez started with the Padres.
At like 20.
Yeah.
It's been 18, 19 years. And he was going to be a big
dude.
Leagues. Yeah.
Well, obviously, I mean, he's stuck around for how long now? Like 30 years?
Yeah. And now he has to pitch the three batters instead of one.
Right. Just bring me out with two outs in the inning.
All right. So that's kind of going through the pitchers. We just went through the pitchers. It took like 10 minutes.
Wait till you get to the hitters and you're going to be like, this is a squad. You can make a hell of a squad right here.
All right. So my free agent list I have here has players in different positions. So you might see like a third baseman show up and a first baseman because they play multiple lists. Do you have any specific position players you want to go over?
Well, I was just going to run through.
Yeah, run through some and then I'll go position by position and just throw out some names. And I think you're going to see like just this insane list of players that are free agents. You could build two or three playoff teams out of these free agents.
Definitely. Well, let's start off with Justin Turner from the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers.
Gosh, I'm so torn on Turner because I see him as so overrated, but he plays.
At the end of the season, you look at his stats and you go, wow.
Yeah, I think of him as a player. I'm like, overrated, and he's not.
He's not. He's not.
Because he never did anything before he went to the Dodgers.
Right.
And then he got to the Dodgers and became a superstar.
Right. So, Justin Turner. George Springer. So who are the Astros going to give that bucket of money to?
So that's a question, right? So George Springer is another guy. I don't know if he ever reached his potential, but he's a good player.
He's a good player.
Right? But I think everybody saw him as like a superstar. 300, 35, 40 home run guy, and he never got to that.
When all those the young crew came through with Houston, he was supposed to be that guy with Correa and Altuve and Bregman. Those guys were supposed to all be like legit elite superstars. And this, it's not a downfall, but he's just been real good.
Yeah. And so at 31 years old, playing in that stadium where if you pull the ball, you hit bombs, but if you hit it in the gaps, the ball doesn't leave.
Right.
What happens if he goes someplace like Colorado, you know, and all of a sudden becomes that 350
guy?
Yeah. And
jeez,
he could. I just wonder if the stadium held him back because if you hit balls middle, you're not hitting home runs in Houston.
Right. Now that I think he's going to be probably the most interesting, like I said, depending on what Houston wants to do of who they're going to unload their money to. Cause are they going to give it to Correa? Are they going to give it to Bregman?
So far we have an all-star third baseman and all-star potential center fielder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see what's next.
The most coveted catcher from a couple years ago, JT Realmuto.
Another all-star potential.
All-star, gold glove, 300 hitter. And they haven't even started anything with him. So are you going to let him walk?
I mean, he's a free agent. I mean, you don't have a choice.
I understand. But, you know, if you really, if they wanted him.
They would have signed him.
Yeah, they would have signed him.
But I think we're in this situation where nobody knows what's going to happen next year. Are they going to play a 60-game season? Is the season going to be canceled? Are they playing 162?
Right.
Do they go to spring training in March? Do they go to spring training in May?
Like, right.
Nobody knows.
Mm.
You know?
So, but he's, you know, he's, I think he's, what, 32?
But, I mean, right. And he's, but the postseason league year stuff is going on as scheduled. So it's going to be really interesting to see how these guys are impacted. So three potential all-stars so far. And he's, I believe, Realmuto is still pretty young.
Yeah, he's like 31, 32, right?
He's 30.
30.
He's got, you know,
so he can sign a four-year deal.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Marcell Ozuna. who bounces around and still hits 280 with 30 jacks.
Right. And so that's, he's an interesting case because he's not really a left fielder. He's really a DH, and all the rumors and say that there won't be a DH in the National League next year. So you, if you're in the National League, you really have to sign him to play left field.
Right.
So I wonder if that hurts his value.
Well, there's still going to be, you know, other guys. Still going to be other teams. You got, you know, half the league that they could take him. So, but he's going to be an interesting one to see. Probably another, you know, 1 year deal and see what happens. But then you got guys like Nelson Cruz, who just went off this year. Yeah. He went off at what, 40?
40.
40, just hitting yammies.
Julio Franco.
Right?
He's going to hit until he's 47.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, Jackie Bradley Jr.
So far we've got all-star potential players. Is Jackie Bradley Jr. an all-star player?
He's a gold glove.
He's a gold glove, but is he going to bat third in your lineup?
No, he's going to bat 270 with, you know, 22 home runs and play a stellar center field.
Yeah. Is he going to do the Mookie Betts thing and become even better when he leaves? Because he plays in a normal stadium.
Yeah.
Like Mookie Betts, I was surprised he got what he got. I'm guessing the teams ran their metrics, and he is better as a Dodger than he ever was with Boston.
Well, yeah.
And so is it going to be the same? These players that are leaving Boston go to a normal style stadium and for half of the year where you don't have 420 to dead center field. And you know, if you hit fly balls to the left, you get doubles, and you hit bombs to center and right center, you're out.
Right.
You know, does that completely change a guy like Jackie Bradley Jr.'s batting?
For him, I think maybe a change of scenery would be really good for him. I mean, he's not that he's been stuck in Boston, because he's had great success in Boston.
Yeah.
But I think if maybe he steps out and goes somewhere else, that might really be that game changer where it becomes, you know, a 300 guy. But he's always done well in the clutch with Boston. I mean, he was really good in the playoffs. So,
and he's only 31, right? Literally.
And he's a gold glover.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be an interesting sign to see if Boston brings him back or if he goes somewhere else. I mean, I don't think he loses. I don't think he loses this offseason. Whatever happens, he's going to win.
I'm worried that everybody, all of these free agents are going to lose this offseason.
Yeah. Well, we'll see by the first signing is really going to be tell the story for the rest of the guys.
We'll see if anybody gets signed and if they have the winter meetings. Like, do they have the winter meetings? Do they have the winter meetings this year? And if they do, does anybody get signed, traded? Why, are teams going to be trading players instead of signing players?
Right.
Is it going to be... Yeah, we're not signing any of these guys. We're just going to go with who
with
we
our
have.
Young guys and see what's
and
up.
We're not signing any free agents because we can't afford to even pay $2 million, you know,
right?
Because we don't know what's going on. All right, who you got next?
Michael Brantley.
Michael?
Another Brantley. Astro who really, he finally took that step of being like the guy. When he came up, you're like, here comes a professional at bat, and he's gonna do well. He's gonna, you know, do his job, and don't make a mistake because he'll take you out. He just looked different. He looked like a much more comfortable player this year. You know, just went out and played instead of trying to play. He just went out and played. So he'll be an interesting sign again to see if, you know, the Astros bring that guy back. And I know that JJ Redick is another guy. I don't think Houston's bringing him back. So Brantley and Springer, again, who are you going to – that's another guy that
– Well, Brantley's 34. Springer is 31. Josh Reddick is 34. So I don't know if you bring back any of them. Springer's a big contract. The other two guys, you can bring him back on one, but are you going to sign him for three and have him play outfield till they're 37? Like,
that's, well, no, but they're in the American League, and Brantley can still swing it. So, you know, maybe he comes to your left-handed DH guy. Who knows?
Maybe you sign Nelson Cruz or Marcell Ozuna to DH.
Could you imagine those two guys, Ozuna or Cruz, hitting in Houston half a season?
It'd be wonderful.
It'd be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, so if you're going to bring in a DH... I don't think those guys are your DH.
Yeah, from 1 year deals. Yeah,
yeah, and it's hard to sign a guy that's 34 to a 3 year contract.
Right, right. DJ LeMahieu.
Yo, go Padres.
I
love you, Cronenworth, but if we can get DJ.
I don't understand why the Yankees don't just take care of him now. He was two words,
Brett Gardner.
Yeah. Well, he's done too. He's a free agent.
Yep.
But DJ LeMahieu's had been, if you ever got a value for a free agent contract, DJ LeMahieu has been that. Mm-hmm. Batting title, what, he hit 360 this year? I mean, he's been your best bat in the lineup since you got him. How do you not bring that guy back?
Because they have monster contracts that they thought maybe people would opt out of, and they're never going to opt out of them. Stan's not opting out of his contract.
I'm sorry. This is a no-brainer for me if I'm the Yankees, but especially with that checkbook that they have, I don't understand why you don't bring him back. Like, why didn't you take care of him earlier? Not even get to this point. Because it's going to cost him more money.
Right. He's going to end up on the Cardinals replacing Colton Wong.
Colton Wong, lead segue. Yeah, he's a free agent. He's interesting because I know injuries kind of set him back a little bit. But
Gold glove. It hits pretty well. Mm-hmm. Hits home runs in the playoffs, not in the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of those guys that'll sneak up on you. Ryan Braun. This is going to be a really, really interesting sign for whoever gets him. Because I don't know who you're going to get.
Does he come back and play, number one? He's 37. Does he come back? And if he does, is he anything more than a DH?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe a spring training invite and see how he does. But we'll see if he's still got the will to want to go out there. I don't know. Because he never heard anything like Ryan Braun's going to hang him up. He never heard anything like that.
Yeah, I have a feeling that he might not want to hang him up, but I'm not sure that anybody's going to...
Might force his hand a little bit.
I don't know if they're going to pay him.
Yeah.
You know, he'll get an invitation to spring training from 30 teams.
Yeah, but just remember, he was a MVP asterisk, but...
Yeah, and that's the question, right? But he hasn't been the same guy since the asterisks.
Yeah. Well, I saved the last one that I have that I want to talk about because I think this would be a huge sign for the Padres.
Ooh, I love it when it comes back to the Padres.
Yes. Yadier Molina, catcher. He's what you want in a career backstop guy. And with the Padres staff, the youth, the enthusiasm, this is where that knowledge of the game with, if you had Molina and Machado, excuse me.
Just kidding.
I think that dynamic, and he's still good.
Yeah.
He's still really good.
He's still really good.
I mean, as far as catching a game, calling a game, throwing runners out, blocking the ball, running a pitching staff, you can't get any better than Yadier Molina.
Yeah, so when I look at this, this would be a great signing for a team like the Padres where they have a younger pitching staff. They need a veteran leader. Here's a guy brings Cardinals style of baseball to a team like the Padres, which pretty much means you win every year. If you played him 3 out of every 5 games, rolled in real Campusano behind him, to catch two guys, he plays 3 out of every 5. He doesn't get tired. He's 39 years old, 38 years old, plays great. Campusano gets working behind him. You trade the guys that you just got, or you you use Nola as a super sub, or emergency if something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Castro is a walk he's not there anymore. I think you'd be set up, and it's not going to cost you $20 million a year. I think Molina would be a great signing for a team like the Padres. Yeah. But I have a feeling that if he wants to play, the Cardinals will bring him back because that's what the fans would want.
Oh, yeah. They go crazy if they don't. The Cardinals will offer him something.
Maybe.
It might just be the baseline for the next team that signs him.
Yeah. Or he doesn't want to play. He sure looked like a guy that wanted to play.
Yeah. Well, he's going to make a hell of a manager if he ever wants to do that.
Yeah, the media says so. I mean, I don't know him personally. All I know is, what the the pundits say, and everybody talks about how great he is and, you know, all of that. And it seems to be true. Seems like he'd be a great manager.
I think
if you want to do it.
Yeah.
He seems like the guy that's the leader on the field, but that's how, you know, the people in the press box talk about every old player that's still playing, you know,
yeah.
Such great leadership out of someone, so-and-so, so-and-so, you know, because they're old and they can't think of anything else to say about them.
Well, I think if you see how he interacts with opposing players, yeah. He's got a lot of respect throughout the league.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And so...
And there aren't enough neck tattoos on the Padres, so they need to add that. They need to add that in. So, yeah. But I'm with you. I think it'd be a great signing. So let me roll through just some more of the free agents by position here.
Okay.
All right. So at catcher, you've got a bunch of veteran guys. You got Alex Avila and Drew Butera. Robinson Chirinos, I think, is another guy that's pretty good. James McCann. Not to be confused with Brian McCann. Wilson Ramos is an interesting one as well as a free agent. Old school Padre Rene Rivera. Some of you guys,
solid.
He's still playing. He's 37. Kurt Suzuki was an all-star style catcher for a while, but he's getting older, 37. Stephen Boyd. Okay, this guy, right? This guy right here was a superstar at one point. And now he's 35, still kicking around. Matt Wieters.
Yeah.
Like I had Matt Wieters on my teams when I played video games because he was the hitting catcher. Playoff star Mike Zunino.
Yeah. 147 and then teared up in the playoffs.
So you got, you know, three or four potential starting catchers there that you could add to an expansion team that could make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay, rolling through the first baseman, you got some of these guys play multiple positions, so they're going to be listed as first baseman as well. So Matt Adams, and then somehow as Drupal Cabrera is listed as a first baseman. CJ Cron and Todd Frazier, Howie Kendrick and Tommy La Stella are listed as first basemans here. Jake Lamb, and then the Padres, Mitch Moreland.
I would bring Mitch back
at a $3 million club option. Yeah. How do you not bring back a veteran?
I would so bring him back.
That could fill in and pinch hit. I mean, he would hit every game, like one at bat maybe, but he'll hit every game.
And he's a gold glove first baseman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would definitely bring him back.
Daniel Murphy, Eric Thames and Justin Smoke, Yasmani Thomas, 30, not a bad one. And then, veteran Ryan Zimmerman. So even if, I skipped one. Carlos Santana from the Indians. He hit like 160 this year.
Right.
But he's only really had one bad year in his career. All right. On to the second baseman. Daniel Descalso and Logan Forsythe, former Padres Logan Forsythe.
Yeah.
Marwin Gonzalez, pretty good player, right? Jason Kipnis, still listed as a free agent. Tommy La Stella's on this list as well. Jed Lowry, still playing at 37.
Jed.
And then you got a couple of young guys, Chris Owings and Joe Panic, 29 and 30, respectively. Some guys that can fill in. And then you got Profar.
Profar is going to be an interesting one for the Padres because I think they got what they wanted from him.
And he's only 28.
Yeah, they got what they wanted.
He's going to get, if this was a regular year, he's going to get a good contract, but yeah. Not being a regular year, I actually think he's going to be one of the higher profile free agents because of his versatility.
Right.
He might get more money than some people that you would think, you know, would get more money.
Well, because he proved he can play second base, he can play left field, you know, and he got surrounded with talent and got to actually play a little bit. I mean, mm-hmm. Think about where he's been, Texas and Oakland.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see what the Padres do with him if they want to go after him. Or if they just, you know, let him go.
Well, and then also, I believe this guy was kind of one of those Uber prospects, Jose Peraza. Hmm. He's only 27. I was surprised by this guy's age when I was looking, this guy I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
D. Strange Gordon, who used to be D. Gordon.
D. Gordon.
He's only 33.
Really?
Yeah, he's listed as a second baseman along with the outfield. But he's one of those younger guys. You got Jonathan Villar, who's only 30. I was surprised to see how young he's been kicking around the league for a long time too. Neil Walker still on the list.
Neil Walker,
35,
LSU,
and Colton Wong. Now, not a lot of shortstops. I was really surprised. The shortstop list is small. So you got Freddy Galvis, who's
amazing
glove.
Freddy's awesome.
Amazing glove, can play second base as well. Didi Gregorius, surprised to see him hit free agency, though he's like the second best player on the Angels, you know?
No. Gregorius? He was with Philly.
Oh, sorry, Philly.
No, the other name, the one you're going to get to is the Angels. That one's a shocker, too.
Yeah, sorry, I got it mixed up.
Didi and Philly, I mean, that was a good fit.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you got...
coming over from the Yankees.
Yeah. Playing for his former manager.
Well, take a look at the Phillies, right? They lost their starting catcher and their starting shortstop. What about Strong up the middle?
Yeah.
Like, what are they going to do?
And, well, and then you lose Arrieta, who's supposed to be the anchor of your staff.
Like, are we in rebuild mode?
Well, you got $300 million sitting in the right field.
Yeah. There's a lot of financial decisions going on right now in baseball because of the shortened season.
Right.
Yes, and I did get him confused with Andrelton Simmons.
Yeah, who has like
the second best player on the Angels.
Bunch of gold gloves.
Yeah, and he was hitting.
Yeah, he started to hit this year.
And you got Joe Panik at shortstop. Eric Sogard, who was a kind of an all-star kind of guy a few years ago. Third base, where they have Asdrubal Cabrera listed as well. Todd Frazier.
He's 35. God, 35.
He didn't age well in baseball. But I'm sure he's a nice guy. Marwin Gonzalez and your buddy Jed Jerko from the Padres, former Padre.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're seeing the Cardinals losing some players and other teams losing players this year. Echeverria, Brock Holt.
Brock Holt.
Your boy.
Hey, Padres sign Brock Holt, please. Because I know they listen to the show. I'm a big Brock Holt fan. He's awesome. He would fit really good. Really good in that clubhouse.
So Jerko was on the Brewers this year? Am I wrong? What team was Jerko on?
No. He was still with St. Louis, wasn't he?
No, I think he was on the Brewers.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, check that out. That's what happens when we use our memories. They don't work. So your man, Brock Holt, they have DJ.
Yeah, he was the Brewers.
Yeah. And he wasn't a starter, but he was filling in when Urias was out playing a lot. And then they're losing their right fielder. I think Sogard might've been on the Brewers still. I know it's another team that's losing some players. Justin Turner, we talked about, is also on the third base list. And Jake,
I don't know. What's he going to do? Is he going to sign a one-year deal and come back? I mean, but I don't know. Unless the Dodgers got, I mean, you're going to put.
He's 36.
Yeah.
It's a tough decision when the players start getting older, whether or not you're going to roll with them, because you have to have a contingency plan, right?
Right.
Because you just don't know. And I mean, that pine tar buildup on his back, it's got to be weighing him down a little bit.
The beard? Come on.
Yeah. If the beard gets a little heavy on one side, it can get a kink in his neck.
I wonder if he just goes, you know what? This year was really, really tough. We won a championship finally. You know, became a big discussion at the end. Maybe this is just my time to walk away. Or do I go, you know what? I want to do this with 162 with these guys and see what's up. I don't know. We'll see. I haven't heard any rumors of him talking about going anywhere else or hanging him up.
Well, that's because he's in quarantine because he got COVID and then went and took pictures.
That's crazy.
And now both teams have to be quarantined, which they would have had to be anyways,
right?
Because he played for eight innings.
But that was, you know, through all that stuff, that was the first one in like 60 days.
Yeah, and it's a good thing this series ended because it would have messed up game 7.
Thrashed everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
And it wasn't his fault. His test came back inconclusive, so they had to retest, and then they got the retest in the sixth inning of the game.
Yeah, well, I would have immediately done another test just to make sure.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
All right, Jake Lamb. Jake Lamb, third baseman, 30 years old. Does he get a starting job somewhere?
It
would be interesting to see.
Cincinnati.
All right.
Yeah.
Some left fielders. We talked about Brantley. Jay Bruce, who is only 34.
Jay Bruce can still swing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went to Cincinnati, went off, and then went to Cleveland, went off. I don't know. He's one of those guys that, you know, he's a bubble guy. you know, I don't want to pay him too much. I don't want to give him not enough to where, I don't know, but he's always swung it.
Yeah. Left field, Nick Markakis at 37. I was surprised when the Braves signed him in the first place, but then he played really well. They were obviously smarter than me over the last few years. Does he have a spot in Major League Baseball?
Well, remember, he opted out.
And then opted in.
And then had a solid season for him.
Yeah.
So I think he's maybe one of those, you know, league minimum guys. If you want to keep playing, we'd love to have you. I don't want to spend any money on you. You know, if you want to be the Braves, here we go. I don't know. I think he plays for the right reasons, though, too. So I don't think it's necessarily going to have to be a huge contract for him.
Yeah. This guy that's coming up right here, I was surprised to see he was only 34 years old, but he's always a free agent or he's always being traded, but somebody always wants him because he plays amazing defense and he swings a little bit. It's Cameron Maben. And I would sign him to be a backup outfielder on my team any day of the week.
And that's why he keeps getting contracts.
Because the guy can play.
Yeah, he plays a great center field. And it's like, he's one of those guys that eventually when he's done, you're going to look at the last few years and go, man, how come this guy didn't play more when he was younger? Well, because he had struggled with the strike zone and tried to do too much because he was by far, I mean, all the dynamics and analytics and all that stuff, talking about what a great center fielder he was. And that's why he got a contract every year, hoping that he could hit and still play that great D. So where he goes next, I mean, I think that's the spring training thing or in the spot kind of situation.
Yeah, and that kind of leads to this guy who's one of the younger free agents, contributed a lot to the Dodgers World Series, even though they didn't want him, and that's Jock Peterson.
Jock Peterson. You want to talk about a roller coaster for this guy. He gets traded, and then the trade gets blocked due to physicals, and he's got to come back to the Dodgers that didn't want him, and then he goes and has a great playoff and, you know, hit some home runs and did some things, and now you're a world champion with a team that didn't want you in the first place.
Yeah, they traded you to the Angels.
I don't know how you wrap your brain around what do the Dodgers want, and are they just going to wash their hands and go, all right, thanks, Jock, appreciate it. Is there been any discussion on or willingness to want to bring him back? That's got to be weird.
Yeah.
It's got to be weird all year.
Yeah. And he really only plays against right-handed pitchers, you know, and he still strikes out a lot even with them, even though he hits some home runs.
Mm-hmm. I just hate seeing him play the Padres because it's a strikeout or a bomb.
Yeah.
It's irritating to watch him play against the Padres.
Well, you mix in a walk and you're Barry Bonds, right?
Jeez.
Jeez. Without the strike, you swap the strikeouts for walks.
But I don't know what team needs a Jock Peterson. He doesn't play a great outfield.
Oh, it's an American League team.
Yeah.
That wants to platoon at DH.
Yeah. I admit, Toronto.
Oh, that's he'd be a monster in Toronto.
Toronto. I wouldn't say.
Yankees. You know how many home runs he'd hit in Yankee Stadium?
Yeah.
Replacing Brett Gardner.
That's a good comparison. He would do well in New York, but he's one of those guys. I mean, what kind of contract are you going to offer that guy? Because he's not an everyday player.
It's going to be a lot less than it would have been last year.
Yeah.
You know, because of
Jock Peterson.
Yeah, another younger guy, Domingo Santana, and then Yasmani Tomas, too. Left fielders.
Well, like I said, one big name has to go as a pitcher and one big name has to go as a position player. And that's going to set the stage for everything else moving forward.
But we're not even done yet. We haven't hit center field and right field. And think about all the players we've talked about today. You could put together maybe two playoff teams out of these free agents. Like, this is the perfect time to put together an expansion team, like a couple of them, and literally just sign free agents.
Let's go Mark Cuban.
You don't need minor,
paging Mark Cuban.
You don't need minor leagues. Just like straight up major league team. Just
one team.
Right?
Yeah.
And then deal with all the independent teams that are left over as your minor leagues for the way the minor league system set up. Right. Just throw in a couple of major league teams right now and go for it. Because like you go to center fielder, we talked about Jackie Bradley Jr. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about Brett Gardner. He's 37, and I don't know if he's coming back. Mm. But you still have Billy Hamilton. No, he wasn't a starter this year, but you know he doesn't run. Swing it, but he plays defense and he runs. You got 36-year-old John Jay.
Who's always a good guy and another guy I think would make a good manager when he's done.
Yeah, you got Jay Mariznick, Kevin Pillar.
Kevin Pillar.
Good player.
Still play.
This one, 28-year-old Malik Smith. He was an uber prospect, never really hit his stride, but the dude can play a little bit. And you have Michael A. Taylor.
From Washington.
He's also 30. And then rolling into the right fielders, I mean, Ryan Braun, who we talked about, Jay Bruce, who we talked about a little bit, who we haven't talked about, Rusney Castillo, solid player, and Adam Eaton.
Adam Eaton was, how do you trade away one of your top pitching prospect and then just play out your next few years and say, okay, see ya?
Yeah. Well, he got hurt and missed, I think, almost a whole year.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they'll bring him back as a spring training guy.
Maybe.
How old is he? Like 34?
He's 32.
32.
Yeah. He's got a contract in
it. Yeah, he's definitely serviceable. You know, if he can stay healthy.
Marwin Gonzalez, Enrique Hernandez.
Marwin Gonzalez is an interesting one too. He's with Houston, isn't he?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's gonna be he can lose a whole outfield.
Yeah, Matt Joyce, Cameron Maybin, Kevin Pillar. This is my favorite one. I don't understand how this guy didn't get signed. He must be just asking for too much money. And for him to come back this year, he's not the smartest playing in the outfield, but the tools, like how can you look at the tools and not sign Yasiel Puig?
Yasiel Puig.
He didn't play this year.
I know he didn't play at all. The guy's a specimen. He's got a cannon.
He's got his own power. Logo.
He's fast. I mean, he plays definitely to the beat of his own drum. I don't know. I mean, is the clubhouse, is it that bad to where you don't want to bring in a guy like that? Now, he might come back in phenomenal shape and a team takes a chance on him and he just goes absolutely off next year, which, you know, you hope that for a player that, you know, you get a contract, you do well. Jeez. There has to be something else. I mean, is it that big of a distraction that you have Yasiel Puig, a superstar potential, just not playing?
You can throw the ball 350 feet in the air.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Maybe the Dodgers bring him back.
Fill that Jock Peterson spot, huh? Yeah,
He's way too good of a player.
If
not
I have
to be
a team,
team,
he's coming to spring training. Yeah. You know, if he'll accept the opportunity.
Yeah.
Josh Reddick, Steven Souza Jr. And then my favorite one, Giancarlo Stanton can opt out of his remaining 7 years and $218 million. Do you see that happening?
Yeah, that's never happening. He's like, oh, I got $218 coming. I'm good.
No way. I've been hurt the last 2 years and played like four games.
No problem.
I'm good. I only
play. Does he have a no trade clause?
I don't know. He only plays in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, the Yankees trying to dump that.
I don't know. He's got 7 years left.
Who would take? But you know, it's he's still at $30 million a year. Yeah. 7 years, $218 million.
Yeah,
still
at,
30
at
a year.
31 years old and hurt all the time.
What ball club would take that?
Nobody.
None.
Nobody. Nobody's taking that. He's a Yankee for life.
Do you want to opt out of $30 million a year? No? Okay.
You mean after the COVID pandemic? Yeah. We just played a 60-game season.
That I was hurt most of it?
Yeah, I didn't really play much. You know, I'm going to go ahead and opt out and see what the Milwaukee Brewers will give me.
His agent's very smart.
Yeah.
That's a great contract for him.
All right, so moving on to the DHs. You got some of these we've already talked about. Matt Adams, Michael Brantley, Ryan Braun, and one we haven't talked about, Yoenis Cespedes. Because he's Mets contract.
That guy needs to just go back to his ranch and have a good time. I mean, he's basically taken the Mets to the bank for, what, he had two home runs this year and got hurt again?
And then opted out?
Yeah.
Nelson Cruz, Edwin Encarnacion.
Another guy that just, you know, keeps hitting.
Yeah. Somebody that did pretty well this year, I think, Matt Kemp at 36, still playing.
Against the Padres.
Yeah. He owned the Padres.
All of his home runs were on against the Padres this year.
Yeah.
He's a guy that if American League team or if they keep the DH, he's a guy, why not? You know, you don't have to pay him a ton. And I'm going to DH you. I'm going to pinch hit you. You know, maybe he can learn how to play first base. He's definitely not playing the outfield anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, God, he's another guy I hated seeing play the Padres.
Yeah. You've got Howie Kendrick and then another opt-out candidate at age 33 from the Red Sox. J.D. Martinez can opt out of his last 2 years in $38.75 million. You see that happening?
Nope.
No. $19 million a year?
No way.
No way. And, I mean, everybody got hurt with Boston this year. Everybody. I was looking at their activation list. It was like 15 guys off the IL. I mean, they had no shot this year.
Well, they've got a chance to just buy a whole new team.
Yeah.
They could literally buy a whole new team.
They could go out and do some damage. Because they now, I mean, Mookie's contract's gone, Price's contract's gone. They saved a bunch of money, even though they didn't make much money. But they saved a bunch of money. They could go out and do something crazy.
Yeah, and Martinez still should be good when he comes back. I mean, he's only 33.
He's going to hit.
Got some good years left.
He's going to hit. He's always going to hit.
So you got some guy, they've got Brad Miller listed on here. I don't know who that is. I just said that because I saw a player. I had no idea who it was.
Sorry,
Brad Miller. Logan Morrison is on this list of DHs. Ozuna, and I've been saving this one. I skipped over all his other positions because I wanted to save him for last.
Who?
The Panda.
Oh, this is Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah. Okay. Guess how old Pablo Sandoval is.
If you tell me 29,
no.
I'm going to flip.
He's not 29.
33.
That's pretty good. He's 34. I would have guessed 37, 38 by watching him play. He's had some big contracts, and he's 34.
Yeah.
Roly-poly.
Yeah.
Definitely the Panda.
I tripped out. Like, I thought something was wrong, and maybe there's just another guy with the same name, but here's Pablo Sandoval pinch hitting for the Atlanta Braves in the playoffs. I'm like, is that Sandoval? Really? And they show, I'm like, oh my God, never even heard of it. I know, I remember the Giants letting him go, and then here he is pinch hitting in the playoffs for Atlanta.
Great pickup.
Unbelievable.
So just to put this in perspective, we just talked about potential free agents for 2021.
And they're all names you've heard. That's the thing.
45 minutes of just talking about free agents next year.
It's going to be absolutely crazy.
I mean, literally all-star teams of players. Yeah. I mean,
veteran, gold glove, you know, frontal line pitching staff, closers, elite.
Elite players.
Elite.
The best.
Yeah. Going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So I go get two guys, well, three. Just looking at my short list, I get Trevor Bauer for the Padres. I get Yadier Molina for the Padres. I get Trevor Rosenthal for the Padres. If I'm getting those three, I like those.
DJ!
No, I'm going to run with Crony and Garcia.
I'm Cronenworth's biggest fan, but if you can put a guy that's going to win a batting title on your team.
Now, if you're going for it, if you're like, hey, I need DJ's bat, you know, versus Crony's bat to, you know, beat the Dodgers.
And the good news is he'll come to the Padres and bat 270 or 265.
Oh, instead of 360.
Yeah. And he'll strike out 200 times and not walk the whole season.
Thanks, DJ. Appreciate it.
Sorry, I know that's not going to happen. DJ LeMahieu, I was just talking a little funny.
Because he listens to the show, because we are global.
Yeah, talking a little funny.
Nationwide. All right.
So while all of these free agents were being set up, there was actually some baseball news this week. The Detroit Tigers hired a new manager. The Chicago White Sox hired a new manager. And the Red Sox are talking about hiring a new manager.
Yes.
So let's start with the White Sox, because that came down first.
First is Tony La Russa
76 years old,
goes, hey, you know what? I think I want to go back to my roots. I want to go back and I want to manage the Chicago White Sox.
Talk about setting yourself up for success.
Well, yeah, now that they're fully reloaded and ready to compete at a high level. But I don't know what the White Sox are doing. It's all about analytics and all this stuff. And you're going to bring in a guy that's, I mean, let's be honest. He ain't got much time left.
Yeah, but all the reports, all the reports say that he's on it. Like he gets all of that. He's,
well, I understand.
Smart. He's not senile.
Is he
doesn't have Alzheimer's.
Is he going to stick to the analytics in a situation, or is he going to gut manage like you should?
You're going to do both. Like you're going to see the splits. Everybody always played the splits, right?
Yeah.
You're going to play the percentages when they matter, and then when it comes down to it, you're going to make the decision based on your unconscious bias, as people call it.
Yeah.
You know, on your gut, you know?
I think, man, I'm trying to think. Russo was when in Oakland and how he managed that ball club and the aggressiveness or the type of player that he got. And then I'm thinking of the White Sox right now. You got some power arms. You got some players that can swing it. Young talent. I mean, if they can take that old school and mix it with the new age and have him relate to the players, I think that could be a great pickup.
Let's be honest here. He's the manager. Like right. He is the he's not going to be hitting fungos.
No.
He's going to be sitting on the bench watching practice, making decisions. He's going to be relying on his coaches to do what coaches do, and he's there to make sure the ship runs smoothly. Mm-hmm. That's what he's there for, to make some pitching decisions, to write out the lineup every day. That's what he's there for, right?
Right.
To use his experience as an advantage. He's the figurehead. He is the CEO of the field players, right? He is not Mr. Fungo. He's not going to be throwing batting practice. He's not going to be, you know, standing around coaching first base and talking while they're in BP. He's gonna
right.
He's the guy. He's going to lead the charge. The White Sox are going to be good no matter what. They know he's not going to screw it up.
Right.
And that's what happened last year. They feel that their manager screwed it up.
Yeah. Well, you can't get much better as far as experience and knowledge. So, good luck, Mr. La Russa. You're already a Hall of Famer, and
I don't know why you'd want to do this at 76, but obviously he likes working. And there are a group of people in this world that they don't want to retire. They love working because that's what they love to do, and that is their retirement, right? Yeah. So he's probably one of those guys. He's like, I love baseball. I want to manage. I want to be a part of it.
I always said I want to die on a ball field. That'd be great.
I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just hanging out. Well, go Tony.
Well, at this point for you, it'd be at the H12 on the blue carpet, right? Somebody call an ambulance. Hoppy guy, he didn't have his helmet on.
Yeah, I forgot.
Don't worry, it's on. It's just backwards.
It's good.
It's on.
So, La Russa, good luck.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting dynamic.
It's going to be fun.
But then what's Detroit doing?
AJ Hinch, baby.
I'm laughing only because all the turmoil, everything surrounding him, and yet, like we talked about earlier, he's done his time. And he's got his team.
Yeah, he wasn't banned for life. He was banned for a year.
Yeah. And now he's back. Boom, Detroit on him.
He's obviously a well-respected manager in Major League Baseball. It's like, we need somebody that's well-respected that the players play for, and here's their guy. And that's what they wanted. And so they got him.
Yeah.
Done deal.
No, he's, and he was a guy that did, go stray from the analytics at times and went with his gut. He also had a veteran staff, so it's a lot easier to let that veteran go, you're not taking me out. Okay, go get him and then be successful. So, but AJ Hinch to Detroit.
What are they going to do? Hire Brad Ausmus again?
Right. But what's Detroit doing?
trying to win.
I understand. You don't hear much from Detroit.
Well, they're gonna sign about 14 free agents
that we just talked about.
I mean, we just set out the blueprint for like an hour earlier. I mean,
well, because Detroit listens to our podcast too, so I'm sure they're taking notes. Yeah,
yeah, they're gonna go with the orange D on their hats, and they're gonna roll out there, and they're gonna play it. You know, they're gonna sign Alan Trammell to play shortstop, and Lou Whitaker, and
veteran.
Yeah, they're gonna go with it. They're doing this.
Yeah. But then here's the one that
I mean, realistically, they interviewed Phil Nevin, I think, and
Phil would have been good too.
Yeah, but they wanted somebody with a proven track record. They want to win, so they went and got a guy that wins, and they don't care about the baggage because the baggage doesn't matter because he served his time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, speaking of baggage, the Boston Red Sox
rumored to be re-signing Alex Cora.
Alex Cora. Now, when they left, it was a mutual agreement, and maybe that was just eyewash to make sure that, hey, look, we're doing something. You know, we're
gonna optics. They had no choice.
Yeah. But I know everyone loved Cora. The players loved him. It's a little bit different ball club, even after 1 year.
It's a losing team now.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they were just injuries like crazy for them. They had like 15 guys. So
it does happen.
Yeah. I like Cora. I like the way he manages. I like how he the players play for him. I just, your diehards, I wonder if your diehard Boston fans are going to be like, you know, what are we doing? We've already been here.
Yeah. We're going to win again.
Or the other side of that is, we won with Cora, so yes, bring it back. I don't care.
We want to win.
I don't care what they do. Just get back into the playoffs and win a World Series again.
For those of you that didn't listen, go back and listen to the Unwritten Rules of Baseball podcast. We've talked about this on our podcast ad nauseum. Baseball is cheating. Those of you that don't think that's true, go back through the history of baseball. If the rule doesn't exist to stop you from doing it, you will do it.
Right.
And sometimes, even if the rule exists, you're going to skirt that rule. It's the way baseball works. Spitballs,
Vaseline, injections, sandpaper,
all of it.
Pine tar,
yeah. Corked bats, you name it. It's all, baseball is cheating. It's all it is. You know, everybody does everything they possibly can to win. Stealing signs is legal if you do it right.
Right.
It is not illegal to steal signs. You're just not allowed to bang on trash cans, apparently, which is actually legal. Banging on trash cans is legal.
Are you sure? It's 2020.
You're not allowed to use your Apple Watch.
Right.
And you're not allowed to use your iPad to steal. But you are allowed to use any other means that's analog to steal signs, and it is legal. You can steal signs from the third base coach. You can steal signs coming out of the dugout. You can steal signs from the catcher. You're allowed to pick up things from the pitcher and know what pitch he's throwing. It's all legal.
Right.
This is not...
Trash cans and flashing lights on scoreboards and dudes whistling in center field are completely illegal.
This is not... Whistling's illegal. Flashing lights is illegal.
Trash can's illegal.
Trash can is legal. As long as you get the sign from a non-digital source, your first base coach yelling, sit back on this one, is legal.
Yes.
You know, that is absolutely legal in baseball. Always, you're just going to wear it in the helmet.
Just, you're always looking for an advantage. Just don't get caught.
Yeah. All of that is legal. You just can't use a digital means to steal the signs.
Right.
So where I was going, AJ Hinch, Alex Cora. This is not a Pete Rose situation. They didn't gamble on their teams. They didn't get lifetime bans. Mm-hmm. You know, even the steroid guys that are being kept out of the Hall of Fame, they didn't get lifetime bans.
Right.
Right? Don't ban them for life. Give them their chance to redeem themselves. That's what America's all about. America loves a redemption story.
America.
It's all about redemption. Mm. And just so you know, America does include South America and North America. Not just the United States of America.
And your geography that we seem to be geography class.
So when you say America,
America,
that includes
United States.
and Canada, and Mexico, and El Salvador, and Brazil, and Argentina.
Wow, this is going to be a crazy off season. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, and so it'll be interesting to see if the Red Sox do sign Cora, because he's got to be their lead candidate, because they don't want to bring in a Yankee like Phil Nevin to manage their team. And then, like, after all of that, we have to go back and talk about why did the Rays take out Snell?
Man, anytime when you know everyone's watching and you drop an F-bomb on the mound because you're dealing and here comes the manager and you're done. Oh, that
you get
two hits, 9 Ks,
sixth inning,
73 pitches,
about to face the guys that he struck out all game long.
0 for 6, 6 Ks.
Yeah.
And they're going to pull me.
Let me take you out. We don't want to win.
Analytics says that this is the third time through. So you're out.
It's so stupid.
And then if you looked at,
watch the game.
Yeah. Well, I think it was Bob Costas that uses, he goes, you have to manage by the pulse of the game, how it feels. And, you know, Cash is well respected and all that other stuff, but you've got your face of your pitching staff dealing in the World Series Game 6 when it counts, and you go, nope, paper says I got to take him out.
Yeah, so I can relate this back to a very strong learning experience for me. I was coaching in high school baseball, pre-hoppy, before I coached with you, and we had two really good starting pitchers. We had a number one and a number two, and we were playing on the road, and our number two was Thielen. He'd thrown 5 innings. He'd never thrown 6 innings in a game, and he was 5 innings dealing, but I got my number one, like, warmed and ready. I'm like, we're going to win. We're up 2-3 runs. We got 2 innings left. I'm going to bring in my number one. We don't have a game for a week. Swap pitchers. Number one didn't have it. We lost. You roll with your dudes.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in the playoffs and your best pitcher is on the mound and they're about to face the best hitters on the other team, you can't bring in your second best guy. Sometimes you can't even bring in your first best guy. If Snell was the 10th best pitcher on that team and he's got a 2-hitter and he struck all these guys out all day long, I roll with my guys.
Right.
You got to, he's dealing whatever is going on in the game today. He's got it. If his hand happens to be in a bright spot on the batter's eye when the ball's coming out, like, that could literally be the reason why nobody can hit him. Like, you have to go with it. You cannot make that change.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, this game, so much of it is psychological.
Right. We can't hit Snell. He's dealing. We can't hit him. Yeah. Like, it's
guys,
like,
are walking, like, back to the dugout going, man.
Yeah.
You know, and just the body language of Betts when the relief pitcher came in was like, oh, I got this guy. The other dude was sawing me up.
Yeah.
I got this guy.
That's a way easier
super
bat.
Super aggressive. And
this is a way easier bat than the other. What'd you say?
What?
What?
I don't know. What did I just say?
I don't know. Nothing.
I don't know. You just totally stumped me in the middle of my thought. I have no clue.
Right. But anyways, it makes a difference when you know you have a hard at bat coming up and everybody else has an easier at bat. When you go to the plate, your mindset changes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, yeah.
I don't care if you're facing Roger Clemens and his prime and he's backed up by David Cohn. Mm-hmm. Like, when you take out Roger Clemens to bring in David Cohn, you're happy Roger Clemens isn't in anymore,
right,
even though you're facing David Cone, because you have a better chance to hit off David Cone, who doesn't throw as hard as Roger Clemens with that split finger.
Yep. Well, then it's like the Padres, when we had Kevin Brown, they're like, oh, great, they're bringing in Trevor Hoffman now.
Yeah. We don't have to hit off Kevin Brown.
Have to hit off Kevin Brown. Snell was dealing. He was locked in. And you just saw his face. How does he come into next season and get into the fifth inning and feel like, hey, I might get to finish sixth now.
Yay, me.
Yeah, or is it the first a guy gets on and I'm out?
I walked 3 batters, so I'm facing the third time through the lineup in the fourth inning, even though I have 8 strikeouts. And I've thrown, you know, 85 pitches, but I don't get to pitch five innings because they're the third time through the lineup because I walked some guys.
No, and that's
even though I'm throwing a no hitter and nobody's touched me and I've struck everybody out that I didn't walk, I have to come out of the game now because
analytics
they're about to bat the third time through.
Yeah.
And we have seven people playing in the outfield because this guy only hits fly balls.
Right. Nice defense.
Now, it's and the big argument is where's this game going? Where's baseball going? You know, is it going to pretty soon just be run by computers saying, oh, this guy needs to come out now?
Yeah, minus their pitching decisions. I think the Dodgers, they used analytics the best I've seen out of any team because what they did worked. I've never seen so many ground balls up the middle be ground outs. Like they played their defense.
Yeah, their shifts were real good.
They were good.
Yeah.
And they didn't do crazy overshifted shifts. They're like, they were subtle and they were smooth and they were accurate because their pitchers pitched to the places that they needed to hit those balls and they did it right.
Back in the day when we would shift, it was two steps to the left or two steps to the right. Now they're going four steps to the left. You know, and four steps to the right, and we're going to put a dude in
right field,
in you know, short right field. So the idea of shifting has always been there. It's just now it's gotten to this guy hits this ball here 76% of the time. I'm going to put a dude there instead of let me put a guy in the area. It's so specific. Right. But you know, we talked about how to beat that. But
yeah, it's pretty easy to beat it, right? I mean, you're a Major League Baseball player. If you can't hit a ground ball to the opposite field anytime you want, you shouldn't be playing.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, but what I did like about Tampa Bay, and I was kind of making fun of it a second ago, in this age where everybody's trying to hit a fly ball and nobody is willing to go the other way, why wouldn't you play with four outfielders?
Right.
Like literally, you're not going to hit a ground ball to third because all you do is pull the ball. And all you do is hit fly balls in the gaps and down the lines. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go, if you don't hit it over our head, you are out.
Yeah, I was tripping on it. I'm like, that's an actual four-man outfield.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it reminded me of 8U softball when you got 10 fielders, and so you got to put a fifth one the out
Rover.
There. Yeah.
Yeah, Rover.
So you're playing with four outfielders because
next thing you know, you're gonna get a gold glove for Rover
because they want those participants. You want everybody to participate. I'm like, yeah, 8U softballs returned in Major League Baseball. Yeah.
But I just feel for Snell because I mean, do you ask for a trade? Cause look, I mean, what else can I do for you? I'm dealing in the World Series and you pull me out and we end up losing.
Yeah.
I
could have won that game. We could have been playing a game seven in 2 weeks after quarantine.
Yeah.
I could have pitched again.
Yeah. I mean, legitimately, do you just go, you know what? I don't want to be here if this is how you're going to manage me.
Right. I want to get myself tied up with Bartolo Colon and CC Sabathia for 997th on the all-time complete games list.
That would, yeah. I just don't. The mental side of him going out next year and pitching, like literally the starting pitchers have to go, yeah, we throw five. That's all we do. There's zero chance you're going to get a complete game in.
Yeah. And the reverse of that is like, okay, you want to pay me $20 million a year to pitch five innings a game? Where can I sign up for that?
Exactly. Exactly.
Because I'll make a comeback. I'm sure if I worked out hard enough, I can get back to throwing 93.
Or you're like, you want to sign me as a relief pitcher and you want to pay me, you know, $2.5 million? Uh-uh. I'm going to throw 100 games for you.
Yeah.
I need some serious coin right now.
I'm going to be your opener for 85 games.
Right. I mean, legitimately, the price tag to be a reliever in Tampa Bay is going to be way higher.
It should be.
Should be, because I'm going to have 100 appearances for you next year.
They're actually creating value for relievers, and as soon as the people realize that they have the power and that they can't always bring up a young guy to get people out, those people that they have and they have to bring in on contracts, they're not going to take the low ones anymore.
Yeah. It's fun. It's just hilarious because then when it really gets into it, in the playoffs, you start bringing starting pitchers. I mean, Urias is a starting pitcher, and he got the last out in the World Series. So it totally flip-flops from, you know, the blueprint of what the Red Sox were doing.
Yeah, so I have a theory on this, and it I have a feeling that the only reason that the Dodgers played the bullpen games is because of the expanded rosters. I don't think they do that if they don't have extra pitchers.
Yeah.
You know, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to, like, if they didn't have three or four extra pitchers, mm-hmm. they would have had to have those guys go out and roll those five or six innings. Tampa Bay doesn't care. They would have just done whatever they right. wanted. But I think because of the expanded rosters, it allowed the Dodgers to change the way they play the game
yeah.
and align it. And it almost cost them. I mean,
yeah.
It almost cost them.
And in my opinion, if the Dodgers don't win the World Series, Roberts is done.
Yeah, he blew. He would
have. They would have gone, pitching, no.
Yeah,
those you're done.
Decisions.
Because yeah. the decisions one through four, I'm tilting my head going, I don't know about that. But he wins it, and you're like, okay, well, either
great job.
Great job. You know, we got lucky.
I feel like they got lucky because they didn't roll with their horses on yeah. the starting pitchers. They yeah. could have just overwhelmed Tampa Bay with starting pitching.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is Kershaw showed up. Bueller showed up. You know, Urias.
Dude, he's good.
He's good. And he came out, and you could tell he had a little fire. May, I think, got tired.
Yeah, I think
because they used him way too much.
If he goes out there and he's a starting pitcher, he's got stuff that's so electric. Yeah. He's a Cy Young candidate at some point in his career.
You're looking at the Dodgers. You got Bueller, Urias, and May.
Yeah, and I mean Kershaw's going to retire eventually. Kershaw's
going to be your four.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And then they got these other guys that are just they're young, like Gonsolin, like.
Yeah.
Really, he's going to be your five.
Exactly.
Come on. You know, these guys are twos on other teams.
I just feel sorry for Blake Snell.
Yeah, I do too.
Because he's a frontline guy. You got to let him run out there.
I think both of them, I'm just blanking on the other guy's name. I love him. The right-hander.
Yeah.
I totally forgot who he was.
I was getting him mixed up.
Yeah, I don't want to say the wrong name, but how do you roll into next season as a starting pitcher for the Rays and be like, hey, my goal this year is to pitch seven innings a game, yeah. and then realize, oh wait, that means I have to face the leadoff hitter three times.
Oh,
my
no.
manager won't let me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the most I could ever
Glasnow.
Pitch
now. Tyler yeah, Glasnow.
The most I could ever pitch is six innings.
I know.
And that's if I have a no-hitter perfect game going.
Yeah, and then hand it over and hope I get a W. Wins and losses mean nothing now for starting pitchers.
I will never be able to face a three-hitter three times.
Right. Even if I'm dealing.
Yeah.
I'm done.
No such thing as a complete game or a no-hitter for the Rays.
Okay, speaking of no-hitters, if we go to a full season, which would be 2019, I'm going to ask you who led the major leagues in complete games and what number of complete games there were.
2019.
This is cup check. So the player and how many that led 2019 in complete games.
The player.
If you get one hint.
I get a hint.
You get a hint.
Okay. That was my hint?
Yes.
Did I get a hint?
Ask a question. Go ahead.
No, you said I get a hint.
American League. Okay, Cleveland. I'll give you the
Trevor
team.
Bauer.
No. Okay. Shane Bieber.
Bieber.
I'm cracking up because I just...
Before the hint, I was going to just throw out a Sabathia, even though I knew he didn't go nine innings those years.
No. So this was last year. Shane Bieber, and guess how many he threw that led major leagues?
Two.
You're very close.
Three
complete games. Three.
Didn't Cy Young have 700?
Yeah. Three. That's nuts. He's your starting pitcher.
Yeah, pretty much the only way you can get a complete game nowadays is if you're throwing a no-hitter.
Pretty much.
And you don't walk anybody.
Pretty much.
Because God forbid you throw 103 pitches in a game.
No. You get over 80.
And you're never facing the other team four times.
Oh, how dare you.
Never facing the Detroit Tigers four times through the lineup.
No. Jesus. That just blew me away. I'm like, three? That's it? The only three. Okay.
Yeah, and then referencing back to the number 997 and 998 complete games ever, I think that was, you said it was Cologne and...
Bartolo Cologne and CC Sabathia.
And it was 38?
38.
Like, for a career.
Career. There's all those games.
There's something wrong with baseball. Like, since the 80s, nobody throws complete games anymore.
And that was the thing, is you sign guys to eat up innings.
I think the mid-90s, we still had complete games being thrown. But as soon as we got to the 2000s, it was done.
Complete game shutout, you know, complete game, two hits, one run.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with just the style of game that's played now and how the games are a lot more important now on a daily basis.
Well, there's more money involved.
And there's more specialization.
Yeah.
You know, now you have your 7, 8, and 9 inning guy.
Yeah, you have your 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. Now
you got, like, the Padres had 3 closers.
Yeah, like legit, 3 yeah. closers.
Yeah.
Yeah, So I don't know. Is it the value of starting pitching? Is it there? Of course it is. But then the value of your bullpen, you know, ultimately cost you a World Series because you didn't rely on, well, the guy who started the game. And if that's the case, why don't you just start in the 9th inning?
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, first team to score a run wins. The games will be a lot shorter.
A lot shorter.
Yeah, and the rumor is they're going to stick with the runner on second extra innings thing.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Made the games faster. Yeah. You actually have to play a little bit. The team that doesn't get the runner over loses.
Yeah, it was like it's forcing the action. Yeah. All right, hey, you got to go now. Yeah. Anyway.
What a podcast. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Last night. The gorilla is not here today.
I know. I was going to bring in the gorilla outfit. You'll have to check that out later. Maybe I'll do that one again.
In honor of Hubie Halloween, I wore my Bobby Boucher.
Bobby Boucher.
Did you watch Hubie Halloween?
I have not gotten there. No, I just, life got fast.
I bet you watched Borat, though.
Half of it, and I fell asleep. But, oh, God, no. I can't even talk about it. It's just... The moon dance or whatever.
I haven't watched it.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, there's that one awkward moment in the first Borat where they're wrestling in the hotel room. There's another scene in this movie that makes you shake your head going, what am I watching right now? It's so bad, dude. So bad.
Yeah. And, on top of that, today, I believe, is November 1st, which means the ballots will be cast.
Yeah. This might be our last broadcast.
We'll see. We're hoping to... actually, I don't know if we'll be doing a podcast the next couple weeks because there's some Arizona soccer trips.
Yeah, schedules. There's a lot going on in the next couple weeks. So
there might be... If the election doesn't get counted right or... there's civil war or whatever happens on November 4th. It's the podcast will come back. We just don't know if we might have a couple weeks off. Yeah.
Just stay tuned. You know,
stay tuned. And maybe just maybe there will be sound on our live stream.
Yeah. Check us out.
But just remember, it's Hoppy's fault.
It's all my fault. Just blame Hoppy.
It's Hoppy's fault. Respect.
Respect.
Respect the sound. All right, folks.
Oh, man.
A great podcast today. Sorry we went long.
Nice hat.
A lot of stuff to talk about. The Brooklyn Dodgers are being represented.
Yes, represent.
Not the LA Dodgers. You know.
I got family that are huge Dodger fans, and it's like, oh.
Did you actually expect me to roll out with an LA Dodger hat?
I thought it was going to be some astronomically grotesque and just go all out.
Hey, there's no way I'm spending $34 on a hat. I'm not gonna wear more than once. This one I can wear. I can
it's solid.
Consciously wear this solid. Hat and be okay with it.
Yeah.
I could not be okay. I would have had to donate the LA Dodgers hat to the thrift store.
There it is.
And $35 for a thrift store hat is just a little too much.
Tax write off.
It could have been.
Maybe.
Someday. All right.
All right.
Well, I appreciate the podcast. Happy Halloween. This was the Cheese 23 podcast.
Yeah, cheesy.
Yeah, so
23
awesome. Podcasts, only 1 week off in the last, so we've done 23 podcasts in the last 24 weeks.
And we're global.
And all of them were during COVID-19 all pandemic. Going global. Thank you for listening in France. I appreciate it. We do have French listeners. And it's
awesome.
It's translated.
Is it?
Into English.
There it is. All right, guys.
All right. So enjoy your time, everyone. Hope you had a great Halloween. There's Thanksgiving's coming up. You guys are going to love it. Hopefully, don't forget about your California mandatory guidelines.
Yes,
that makes a lot of sense. And if you live in an apartment, I hope your patio is really large for the Thanksgiving dinner.
That's a good one.
With that one
there, folks, we're out of here. Big patios. Woo!